You're not supposed to be eating it. A sachet that's got the letters on S-A-L-T, salt. If you've got a sachet that's got C-O-C, just please return that and bring those. Those sachets must come back. That's the wrong sachets have been handed out then. Ons het reg maak in ons stoorkamer. Hallelujah. Okay, I want you to hold on to this. We're going to get to this a little bit later in the sermon. While we're doing that, I'm going to ask the sound guys just to put up our theme scripture on the board from Matthew chapter 28 and from verse 18. We're going to read that together. I'm going to just visit again and discuss again what we ended off with last week. Just to really, really get this in our minds and in our hearts as we discuss this theme. So while that's being handed out, if we could all just read this together on the board as it is displayed over there. This is known as the Great Commission. Everybody say, Great Commission. Was spoken to me. Yeah, not speaking to me. Okay. Okay, let's read together. Ready? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We thank you that today, even Lord God, after so many years, we can read this and listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And thank you, Lord God, that we can respond favorably to that. Lord, we can respond in obedience and say, Lord, here we are. We want to do what you have called us to do. So as we look at your word today, Lord God, by your Spirit, would you minister to each person's heart? May we see the importance, Lord God, and the weightiness of this that we're doing, but also the absolute joy and the privilege, Lord God, of being able to do what you've commanded us to do, Lord, to make disciples of all nations in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says that the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And may God, by his Spirit and his grace, make us wise soul winners. Last week, we looked at the fact that our strongest motivating factor for wanting to evangelize and wanting to witness should be love. And we also looked at the fact that sometimes the Holy Spirit will prohibit us from witnessing. We see there from the book of Acts how it says that the Spirit prohibited them from going to a certain place and ministering the gospel. Why? It's because that God's season for somebody's life might not be the way we recognize it. And God's timing for people is perfect. And there's a time and a place where he wants stuff shared with people. And also, we looked at the fact that different people play different roles in people's lives. There's the preparing of the soil, and then there's the planting of the seed, and then there's watching the seed and watering it and nurturing it, then comes harvest time. So we understand that sometimes we might be missing the Spirit of God when it comes to this. And we just started to look at the fact that Jesus was moved with compassion when he looked on the multitudes. And I just want to visit with that a little bit in more detail this week. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, and it says, and when Jesus came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. It's interesting to note that the scripture says that Jesus was moved with compassion, not sympathy. Sympathy is something that we as South Africans, what do? We say, wat sê ons? Oh, shame. Nou, glo julle dat daar dood en lewe is in die krag van die tong? Glo julle dit? So van julle is nie seker nie. Some of you thinking, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Eintlik is dit nie so nie. Die skrif sê, daar is dood en lewe in die krag van die tong. You know how many times that gets misinterpreted? And people say, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Dit is nie so nie. Ons is geneig. As Jesus ons nie aangeraak het nie en ons mind nie gechange nie, is ons geneig om eerstens dood uit te spreek. Wanneer laas het jy positiviteit oor Suid-Afrika uitgespreek in steede van negativiteit? Just think about it. When was the last time you woke up thinking, praise the Lord Jesus that you'll change this government, that you'll change, instead of thinking, you woke up and you said, ach nee, hulle het alweer droog gemaak, alweer, het jy gesien wat maak hulle, het jy dood in lewe in die krag van die tong, in steede van lewe en dood. That's what the scripture says. So we need a heart change to change the way we speak and the way that we look at things. So sympathy is when you say, oh, shame. Compassion goes, and what is empathy then? Empathy is wanneer jy jouself in daai persoon se skoene plaas. Is dit nie so nie? You place yourself in that person's situation. But compassion is where you actually do something about it. Where you do something about it. Jy loop nie net verby situasie en sê ag shame, ek hoop daai mense se issue word dan uitgesort en dan stap jy maar verder daar aan met jou lewe. That's not what Jesus did. He acted radically, radically different. You see, if Jesus just had sympathy, him, the Father and the Holy Spirit would have been, yes, oh, shame. Check die mense daar op aarde. What you sukkel hulle? And God is like, ja, sure. Ja, wel, ek het hulle gesê, hulle moenie, dat nog steeds gedoen. Wat hulle, ek sê, hulle moenie meer doen nie. Oh, shame. The Holy Spirit is like, oh, ja. Jy sal kry maar swaar, hey. And then they're going to carry on just enjoying heaven. That's sympathy. Jesus was moved with compassion. God saw the condition of the human heart. Julle, kom ons wees eerlik met mekaar vanoggend. Ons dink ons is oulik. Is dit nie so nie? I mean, ons ja, Louis is convinced. Hy sê ons is. But you know what Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says about our hearts? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. I didn't give it to the sound guys, but they can get it up there quick enough. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How many of you feel encouraged this morning? The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Dit beteken, it's like there's the slope in our hearts and it always rolls downwards towards self-destruction unless we allow Jesus Christ to come in. But yes, the good news, even though that's what the scripture says there in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel. I also didn't give this to the guys. Ezekiel says this. This is what we need. The Lord's intervention in our hearts and in our lives. Ezekiel 11 and verse 19. It says, then I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within them. Everybody say new spirit. Hallelujah. New spirit, Lord. Give us a new spirit. And take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. So what we need to do is we need to come and get the Lord to do open heart surgery in our lives with no anesthetic. No anesthetic, Lord, like wake me up when it's all over. Wake me up before you go. No, Mozzie, stay focused. No, but to be awake and consciously aware of the transition and the change that the Lord wants to make in my life. And Jesus was like that. He looked at the people and was moved with compassion. And we shared last week, because when you see a crowd of thousands of people coming to toy and destroy and smash and burn and break and steal and loot, I'd say, you know, I'm like, where's that automatic weapon? What does Jesus look at them so differently? Dink jy, the end of a barrel and a trigger is the solution to this country? Ons sal almal mekaar uitwis. We will take each, there'll be nobody left. And just the animals like, check at these people, yeah. Hulle is almal dood. It will just be the animals. Because we need nature. Nature doesn't need us. Leave nature on its own. Then you check how Mother Nature thrives. Maar ons, hey, mense, ons het help nodig. Hey. And Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. And he saw them like sheep having no shepherd. I so wish the Bible said, Jesus looked at the people and he saw that they were bold, beautiful, graceful eagles. Or they were mighty lions. No, sheep. Who come a scarp? Everybody go, meh. Yell is my scar, meh. Come on, man. Let's say, meh. Why sheep? Is that a besondere dier? There are so many things that we can learn from a sheep. When a sheep is lost, it doesn't even try and find its way home. A dog will, a cat will, not a sheep.
'n sheep sal maar net daar so staan en frek. 'n Sheep, jy lag, dis waar. Speak to sheep farmers. Wie hierso het geboer met skape? Anybody here? Am I right, Leon? They don't try and find their way home because they lost. They lost. That's why he looked at them as sheep. Dis verlore mense. Hulle gaan nie op hulle eie die regte pad probeer vind nie. Hulle is verlore skape. A sheep also has no form of self-defense. Some animals have teeth and claws en hulle kan vinnig hardloop en hulle kan hulself vermom. That is the right word for camouflage, isn't it? Glad nie sleg vir 'n Engelsman nie. Hulle kan hulself vermom. A sheep has no disguise. It can't run, it can't hide, it can't attack. It's helpless, man. That's why it needs a shepherd. A sheep needs a shepherd to protect it from the animals of prey that want to come and take it out. That is why he saw them as people. You need a shepherd. I need to deliver you. I need to protect you. I need to deliver you out of the hands of the enemy. And these things should be stirring in our hearts when we look at people. It's like helpless, helpless, helpless little innocent, defenseless children at the hands of a mighty, mighty, powerful enemy that can use one of several ways to destroy us. And that's how Jesus looked at us. Sheep. Sheep. Al wat klink is net meh. And if you listen to Christians, ons kan maar meh. As dit somer is, meh, dis te warm. As dit winter is, meh, is dit te koud. Always moaning about something. If we got curly hair, ek wens my hare was reguit. As ons reguit hare het, ek wens ek het krulle gehad. I'm like, I wish I had hair, full stop. God's got a sense of humor. God, I don't care who you are, that's funny. We lose our hair, yeah? And where does it come out? Our ears and our nose. When we get, that is funny. The snarks. That's how God is, hallelujah. And he looks at us like, yeah, you need a shepherd. And Jesus looked at them as sheep that need a shepherd. That's how he looked at them. And he says that sheep without a shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd, if you look at Psalm 23, takes you and leads you besides the still waters, green pastures. And he gets you, and there's an awesome study of where this, what the psalmist would have seen when he was speaking about these green pastures. We have this idea that the sheep were brought to this place where this beautiful, beautiful, lush abundance of green grass that you can just go and lay on it, isn't it? You have that picture. Was nie so nie. Was nie so nie. It was a dry, barren place where at the right time, a little bit of water in the right place where there's a little bit of seed, there'd just be little bits of grass. So what had to happen? The shepherd would have to lead the sheep to those little individual, small little tufts of grass, one little bit at a time, so that the sheep had just enough to survive that day. And when it woke up the next morning, it didn't have this lush green field. It had to be dependent on the shepherd all over again. Hy kon nie net voeter op sy eier en gaan wei en homself dik eet laat en nie kan beweeg nie. En dan lê hy daar so, dik gevreet. No, he had to wait on the shepherd. And the shepherd knew where on the hills, on the slopes of the hills, where to go to find those little tufts of grass. One little mouthful at a time. That they had enough for their daily bread or their daily grass. And he grass nie, nee? A daily sustenance. They had to be completely dependent upon the shepherd. And they needed a shepherd to give them guidance. So when Jesus looked at us, he said, these people, hulle het help nodig. Hulle het help nodig. How many of you had to sit down and teach your child how to be naughty? Kom my kind, ek gaan vir jou wys hoe om nonsens aan te jaag. How many of you had to teach your children how to be naughty? No. You leave a child alone. Man, hulle jaag nonsens aan. That's the nature of Adam, the Adamic nature inside. That spirit that needs to be born again and have the spirit of God that wants to do what is right. That's why we needed to be born again. That's what it means. So that nature inside us needs to change. That needs to change. And we need a shepherd to enable us to do that. Spiritual guidance and leadership in our lives is what we need. And that is our Jesus source. And our encouragement from this should be, that's how we should see people. I've got a choice. I can look at somebody that's a muhu like I used to be in my self-righteousness, or somebody that needs spiritual guidance. Somebody to come alongside them and walk with them and give them spiritual guidance. So Jesus saw that we needed that spiritual guidance. He needed to come alongside us. We need to open up our hearts and minds and say, Lord, weis my hoe. Weis my hoe. How do I do this, Lord? And that's how Jesus saw the people. Are you learning something from this morning, church? I pray that the Spirit of God is stirring something up in your hearts. And then he began to teach. He began to teach. How many of you had to go for some form of instruction to receive your driver's license? Okay, the rest of you bribed somebody. Give me my license, papi. You had to go for some form of instruction to receive your driver's license. And the sad reality is that most people go for more training for a driver's license than they do for the office of marriage. Think about it. Well, ons is lief vir mekaar. Well, it's not enough. I saw this interesting picture this week. The pastor's marrying the husband and wife. And he says, you will be together to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, until death do you part. And then there's this next picture of this beautiful woman, scantily clad, and she says, hello, my name is Death. Julle lag, nee, maar dis die waarheid. Dis die waarheid. And somebody answered and said, true, true, it doesn't have to be like that. Go for more training for a driver's license than they do for the office of marriage. Wat nog van die lewe? We need somebody to teach us how, you need to teach us how to do life. How many of you started, you got an Android cell phone for the first time? Some of you are wondering, what is that? Well, this is the operating system that's on your phone if you've got an Android phone. You have to learn how to use that operating system. Same thing if it's an Apple. It's got a different operating system. The hardware, like min of meer dieselfde, it's a touchscreen phone with whatever. But it's got an operating system that you need to learn how to use the operating system. What about the operating system of life? How do you do life? You need to be taught how to do life. And here we have it. It's the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's the basic instructions before leaving earth. Have you read the instructions this week? We need to read the instructions and see how to do life. And that's what Jesus did. He started to teach them. And then that passage of scripture, our theme scripture, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, and teach them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. And that's the commission that God is calling us, folks, to do that, is to make disciples. You see, if we, I'm challenged with this. If I'm not making disciples, what am I doing? In Mensa, am I making disciples from the platform here this morning? No. I'm just preaching. You know what I'm doing? Ephesians 4 says that the fivefold ministers have that responsibility to teach the people to go and do what? To go and do the work of the ministry. Now, that is also applicable to me, but my primary function is to teach and to train and equip people, equip the saints of God to do the work of the ministry so that every member is a minister. Say, I am a minister of the gospel. Some of you didn't say that. You're watching, eh? Lord's watching you. You must say that I'm a minister of the gospel. Do you know that that's why, man, that's your creational purpose, for God to enjoy you. For God to enjoy you. And that's the encouragement that I want to give you, is that this is the call. Folks, it's the most incredible journey you can ever embark upon. It says he was moved with compassion. And we looked last week as well, Isaiah 53 verse 3, that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in John 11, we see that Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. So Jesus had emotions as well and has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. God has emotions. He was grieved when he saw what mankind was doing. So they have emotions as well. I mean, they gave us emotions. They understand emotions. And he was moved with compassion and acquainted with grief. Dude, we looked at the fact that does our heart break with the things that breaks God's heart? We looked at also, quickly, I want to touch on this again, that we are called to love at all times and in the worst of times. And we have a danger of this love that the Holy Spirit can deposit in our hearts is in grave, grave, grave danger. Ladies and gentlemen, and sons and daughters of God, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. That love that God has deposited in our hearts is in serious, serious danger. Danger of what? Huisbrekers, nee. Nie net dit nie. Onder andere. All sorts of things. But this is it. We looked at in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 5, that these are the kind of things and people that we're going to be experiencing. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. This is hectic. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. It's times like this, people like this, where the love that is in our hearts runs the risk of being made cold. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. A while ago, I preached a sermon called Love Grown Cold. Folks, if the Church of Jesus Christ, that's us, loses love for our fellow human being, it's for bay. It's for bay. In a couple of minutes, we're going to get to the topic of salt. It's for bay. If we lose that love, if we let this, all die mense, al die moeges, wat ons van gelees het hierso, if we let them, here's the deal, it's like a ship or a boat that's busy sinking. When the water starts getting on the inside of the boat, that's what causes it to sink. Don't let the water of the world get on the inside of your boat. Keep it filled with the things of God. To keep that boat afloat, that water needs to be on the outside of the boat. Here's the deal. The very thing that causes the demise of that boat, the very thing or the very stuff that causes that boat to sink is the stuff that will keep it afloat. Have you ever thought of it like that? Die eenste water wat binne inkom is the stuff that keeps the boat afloat. The wind that can destroy that boat is the very thing that when the sails of that boat catch the wind, is the thing that gets that boat to move and to go places. Daarom sê ek, te veel hoor jy kinders van Here ons, bid Here laat hierdie storm maar net eindig, in steede van Here, ek is in hierdie storm, laat ek u vind in hierdie storm, in die middag van hierdie storm. Instead of, don't pray for the storms to end, pray that you find Jesus in the storm. Pray that you see your deliverer walking to you on the water, that you find him, that he says to the storm, peace, be still. That's what we should be praying for. But we pray for the storms to stop. No sailor ever becomes skilled without facing any storms. God has never mightily used anybody that he hasn't deeply tested. God has never mightily used anybody that he hasn't deeply tested. And it's in those times that we need to stand strong and show this kind of love. And God, against our hearts, the love in our hearts growing cold. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lord, protect our hearts from growing cold. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, now we're going to get to talk about this. Matthew 5 and verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." What happened was they would walk in places where when the conditions were right and it was muddy enough and wet enough and slippery enough that it would be slippery to walk there. So what did they do? They threw salt down there to give attraction so that the people wouldn't slip. So that's what it was used for, to keep men from slipping. Isn't it interesting? To keep men from slipping and stumbling and falling. What does salt do? Salt also preserves things. It keeps something and lasts, gets something to last a little bit longer than it would otherwise do, and it adds flavor. It adds flavor to whatever it is that you're eating. I mean, I find animal protein is such a fascinating thing, isn't it? In its healthiest form, it's not palatable. Ons hou nie daarvan nie. When, how many of you gister toe, well, you couldn't have bribed, but you went to the fridge and you took out a nice, beautiful piece of tender raw steak, and you chowed your raw steak. Jy vir ons, skat. Maar ons doen dit nie. Because dit proe die nek nie, so we have to cook it. Okay. So we have to cook it. And in the cooking process, whether you braai it or you boil it or you do whatever to it, a lot of the nutrients are burnt and destroyed because it's subjected to heat that it was never designed to be subjected to. And then we put it in our mouth and dit proe nog steeds nie lekker nie. No, now we've got to marinate it. So we marinate and do all sorts of things just to make it taste lekker, and dan is dit nog steeds nie goed genoeg nie. We've got to put salt and pepper. The minster. Isn't it funny that we do that just to make meat palatable? Why? Because this adds flavor. It makes it taste, I don't know, acceptable. I don't know. This is maar net hoe dit is. Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth. To make life palatable. Make it tasty. And here's the deal. What happens when you have too much salt? What happens to you? You? Wat wil jy doen? Jy wil drink. Sommige van ons het glad nie 'n sout gehad nie, maar drink gaan ons. Drink, papi. Why do you think there's peanuts and snacks and treats and pretzels or whatever on bar counters? Dat jy daar in peesel, it makes you thirsty and say, we gaan nog een keer. Makes you thirsty. Pour until I say stop, and dan sê jy nie stop nie. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so lekker dat ons mekaar kan lag, man. God is good. And, all the time, God is good. So, God has called us to be salt. With this little illustration, I pray that by the Spirit of God, He'll help you to remember something. One of the many, many ministry tools that you can use to minister to people is the following. The word salt is an acronym. The elke letter staan vir iets besonders. First and foremost, what I'd like to look at just quickly, just briefly, and I'm going to start to close with this little illustration. Salt. The first thing you do is speak. Wie van julle kan nie speak nie? Wie van julle kan nie speak nie? I just have to jump on your toe and dan gaan ons hoor hoe jy speak. You can speak. Jy het 'n stem. Al is dit 'n sagte ou fyn stemmetjie, so jy het 'n stemmetjie. Somebody said, if you want to capture somebody's attention, whisper. Just start fluistering in what he means. Hulle staan maar nader. So you don't have to, I know some of you might be all quiet and shy and teruggetrokken soos ek. You know, nie daarvan om voor mense te praat nie. And if that's fine, God can use you like that as well. Hallelujah. But the first thing you do is speak. Speak. Ek gaan vir jou wys hoe. Wat jy doen is, jy gaan na die persoon toe met 'n glimlag. Not a cheesy smile. Eh? Smile, man, your best smile. Say, hi, my name is Mozzie. Hoe like jy my so ver? Was dit moeilik gewees? So turn to the person to your left and say, hi, my name, moenie sê Mozzie nie. My name is so and so. Hoe like jy my so ver? Come on, man. Don't get all religious and godsdienstig op my nou hierso. That's what you do. You just simply speak. Just start by introducing yourself. Hi. So-and-so, how are you? I find it so, you know, in our culture, you know, years ago it was okay to walk down the street, you walk past a lady, you greet her, good day, ma'am. Today it's like chaffing me or whatever. They make moves. You'd like, hoekom? Hoekom is it so, man? Okay, and if you're a guy, don't just go greeting just all the ladies now, you know, because then we'll really start to be a little bit suspicious. You take the concept of love your neighbor a little bit out of context there, but just start by speaking to the person. Introduce yourself. Hi, how are you? Talk about anything. Talk about the weather. Talk about something. Just start speaking to the individual. And if you shy, if you think, Mozzie, ek kan nie, ek weet nie wat om te sê nie. Hallelujah. You know what you are? A perfect candidate for the Holy Spirit to work through. You see, as jy daar kom, so vol van yourself. Kiss me quick before I kiss myself. The very, very, very limited working of the Holy Spirit in your life. But if you like, you see, Lord, ek is my man van my min woorde. Ek weet nie wat om te sê. Perfect candidate for the Holy Spirit to work through you. You think I was like this van dag een af? No, ek is so geslaan. No. We had to do speeches at school, obviously. And obviously we'd be on the playgrounds playing with friends. And I was, people have done surveys as to what people fear the most. You know how many people fear public speaking? They'll rather be, I don't know, dive with great white sharks, not even in a cage, than stand up and publicly speak in front of people. And I was bummed for that. And I realized, but hang on a second. These are my friends that I play on the playground with. Ons hardloop rondom mekaar, that our shoelaces come loose. We share and steal each other's sandwiches. Why am I afraid of these oaks? These are my friends. It changed my mindset completely. So when I got up and stood in front of them, I realized, I'm just talking to my friends. Yeah, now they're all listening and they're all looking, but op die einde van die dag, it's net my vriende. And if you're shy and nervous and whatever, perfect candidate for the Holy Spirit to start using you. So the first thing is just speak. Just speak. We spoke about it yesterday at the men's meeting. I was asked to go and speak there, and I spoke about sons being sons of encouragement. And in the biking fraternity, we joke about each other's bikes, and a guy stops his bike, and you sit it's onder laat die olie kan vang, and you talk about the bikes. You know, we tease and mock each other's bikes. It's just say something positive about the guy's bike. And I said, if there's nothing positive to say about the guy's bike, you just say to him, nice mirrors, eh? You compliment something about the bike. Say something to just talk about, and that's what makes the motorcycling thing so lekker. Ons het iets in gemeen, nee. When you stop at a garage, imagine what it's like. You stop at a garage and you put petrol with your car in your car, and you get out and you ask the guy, so how's your Toyota doing this week? He'll be like, huh? We don't do that, but bikers, understudy. Hey, how's the bike going? Are you enjoying this? Are you enjoying the that? That bikers, we're just a different breed, hallelujah. There, you have something to talk about. So, are you enjoying the new bike? Or, you know, what are those tires like? Or, nice mirrors, eh? If you don't like anything about the bike, there's something to talk about. Speak about something. The next thing is, A, ask. Ask. Ask questions. Ask questions. Ask, sir, how are you? Where do you stay? What do you do? Do you have kids? How long have you had the bike? Ask questions. You can ask general questions, but then also ask questions about the individual. How did you come to stay here? How did you get that job? You know, how did you meet your wife? Or, how did you end up in prison? Or what? Something. You know, something like that. Yeah. Well done, Carl. The chick is already learning to speak. There you go. Give him a round of applause, man. Hallelujah. I think it's the first time I've ever heard Carl say anything in church. Hallelujah. Lord, my preaching is working. Hallelujah. Because he's married. No. Now he's going to learn. He's going to learn to be quiet. Yeah. He's going to learn to be quiet. Hallelujah. I need to stay focused on this topic. This topic, Mozzie. So ask personal questions about the individual. Ask about their children. And maybe it doesn't go so well the first time. The next time you meet the person, how's it going with your kids? How's it going at work? And then, you know what it does to a person when you ask questions about them? It says that you remembered something about them. Now, if you battle with names, say, hello, my brother. How's it, my sister? How are you doing? It's like, and then, I used to use this thing, it's a little bit deceitful. I say to the person, what's your name? And they'd say, Kevin. I say, I know that, man. I meant your surname. kind of naughty, isn't it? But so I look at a person, I try and remember the person's name. Holy Spirit, help me to remember the name. Remember the name. So how many of you, when I was getting to know you, I introduced myself to you more than once? Come on. Because I didn't remember. I introduced you, don't remember, you know. That's why we have care group leaders. It might take me 3, 4, maybe more weeks to notice, okay, that certain face is not in church anymore. And it shouldn't be like that. 3, 4 weke voordat iemand agterkom, jy sê daar nie. But you're in a care group, as jy nie daar is nie, without an apology, saying, I can't make it because of, somebody is supposed to find out, how are you doing? That's how we care for each other, isn't it? That's community. So ask questions about the individual. And then L stands for listen. Listen to what the person says. So I'm going to ask you, Leonard, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you how you're doing, and then I want you to start telling me how you're doing. Okay, can you do that this morning? Okay. Leonard, how you doing?
Good in yourself.
Have I listened to him? You see, somebody's once given the definition of a friend as somebody asks how you're doing and takes the time to listen to what you have to say. You know how love is spelled today? It's not L-O-V-E. T-I-M-E. Time. Time is something that we say we don't have. Well, guess what? We've got the same amount of seconds in a day that we always have. The same amount of hours. Same. Nothing's changed. We've got the same. Why? It's because ons maak nie tyd vir mekaar nie. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Just give each other, there's an expression in English that says, just give him the time of day. We didn't even bother giving him the time of day. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to what he has to say. And then in this thing called listen, I want to encourage you to also listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Now, there are times where me as Mozzie, I get too super spiritual with this. The person is busy telling me stuff, and I'm listening, I'm concentrating, Lord, what are you saying? What is the Spirit of God saying all the time that don't listen to what the person has said, and I cannot ask them questions about what they've said. And I find myself, the person is like, for a while, and then I turn back and I can see, oh, okay, they're waiting for an answer and a response. I'm like, and I haven't listened. Just listen. There's been people, I don't know if they're in this church still. I'm the one guy who's definitely not here. I was busy speaking to him. He was speaking to me. And while he's busy speaking, so varas vrakig, I turn away and something or someone else has distracted me or caught my attention. And love is also shown by eye contact. Just eye contact. Eye contact. Just look at the person while they're talking to you. Just look at them. That's listening. Giving them your undivided attention and listen to the person. Listen to what they have to say and listen to where they are. And then you can ask, what do you think about this whole Christianity thing and church? And the people ask, how are you? Oh, great. And what did you do last week, Sunday? Or something like this. Yeah, we went to church. You know, after church, we went on a ride on the bike somewhere. Or in summertime, before church, we had a quick ride quickly in the morning somewhere. Talk about something like that. That's S-A-L, and then T is tell. Tell. Simple. You can't say testify, but tell is shorter. I want it short and sweet. Just tell. Tell them your story. Tell them your story. Your testimony. Tell them your story. And you won't have a testimony unless you've been tested, or else you're just a moany. You can't have a testimony unless you've been tested. And if you haven't been tested, you're just a moany and a groany. So tell them your testimony. And just take 3 minutes to do it, maximum 3 minutes. 1 minute, how you were before Jesus. 1 minute, how you invited Jesus into your life and chose to make him Lord of your life. And then the last minute of how your life has changed since then. Don't take 17 minutes to tell them how bad you and the devil were. 30 seconds how you came to know the Lord Jesus, and then 5, and then I gave my life to the Lord. Amen. It's like, who's gotten all the glory and all the airtime?
the devil.
So hulle hoef nie te weet hoe sleg jy was nie en al die nonsens wat jy aangejaag en jy sê, you know what,
I lived purposeless before I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't know why I was here on earth and, you know, things would go wrong and it wouldn't make sense and I had no hope and no future and I was very discouraged and I tried to make things work myself and the harder I tried, the worse things got and it just became emptier and emptier and emptier and I just got despondent and wanted to give up. And then I decided to kill myself. And for the first time, I called out in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And it was the most incredible thing. I felt this weight being lifted up off my shoulders. And before that, I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks. And I felt a peace that I'd never felt before come upon me. And I fell asleep. And it was incredible. I had a deep sleep. And I woke up the next morning. And I knew something was different. And I went down on my knees. And I started praying. And then I went to the only Bible that we had in our house. It was under my shoes, filled with dust. And this is a real story. And I went and I moved the shoes out of the way. And I got the Bible. And I started reading the scriptures. And I started searching. And then I crossed paths with these wonderful people called the CMA. And I realized that this God's got a plan and a purpose for my life. And nothing has ever been the same since then. It's been very, very difficult. But the most exciting journey of my life. I realize that the things I've gone through, God can use it to His glory. All the tests, I can use it as part of my testimony. And my life has been incredible since then, and I have a future to look forward to. How long did that take? Not even a minute. That's my story. Tell your story. Maybe yours wasn't like that. I don't know. Maybe yours was... Well, I had the privilege of growing up my whole life going to church. I was forced to go to church and ek het onder die kerkbanke groot geword and I was religious and I didn't know Jesus in one day. And your story might be different. Tell your story. Hence, salt. So, S is for speak. A is for ask. L is for listen. And T is for tell. So with this little salt, you can put it on your braai vleis this afternoon or your supper tonight, or you can keep it as a reminder or whatever. But let this just be a reminder that God has called us to be salt to the earth and add flavor and seasoning to people's lives as He's called us to do. And I trust that as we get deeper and deeper into this in the days and in the weeks that come, as we look at the subject more and more and more, we're going to look at other practical examples, how to mark your Bible, to share the scriptures with somebody, and what to do when people ask difficult questions, and how to avoid getting into arguments with people about stuff in the Bible. And just pray that the Spirit of God will just stir you and encourage you to somehow, where you are, make a difference in people's lives. Would you stand with us as we get ready to worship the Lord together? I just want to pray with us as we just... us to pray together as we just hold these little sachets of salt in our hands as we pray for each other this morning as a body of believers. Let's just pray together. Lord, when we leave this building this morning, there's a sign above our roller door that says, be the change you want to see. And Lord, we're going out into a cruel, cruel, dying world. It's a hard place. It's difficult out there, Lord. It's tough. It's dog eat dog and each one for himself. But yet there's so much beauty there, Lord. There's so much life. There's so much love. There's so much potential. There's so much opportunity. I pray, Spirit of God, that you help us to see these opportunities to, in a simple, simple way, without being teachy or preachy or being Bible bashers or religious freaks. We can just share our faith with people. And in this simple way, Lord God, give us courage and boldness to simply start speaking. Simply start speaking, Lord. Give people wisdom and show us the people that we should be speaking to, Lord. Open our eyes to see people in a way that we've never seen them before, with compassion, to be moved with compassion like you were and like you are, Lord.
And Lord, help us to ask what we should ask and listen to what the people say. And then, and just love it in a simple, simple way. Just tell our story. Just tell our story. Lord, as men and women open their hearts to this, Lord God, I thank you that you help us to be people that really are the salt of the earth, that bring the difference in people's lives, Father. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well,